intercession, prayer, you notice that? And thanksgiving be made for all men everywhere. That's a secret that a lot of our people have never learned. And that's why we're not having more revivals and more healings and more results from God. Believe me, friend, that's it. You pray and pray and pray and pray and you don't get the answer, and so you give up praying. But if you could learn the first of all, the approach to God, and then learn the channel by which God honors your prayer today. Did you know that when you go to God in prayer today, He may not be receiving anything but prayer? And there's a difference. In the morning you may go and He's not taking nothing but supplication. Now some of you old-timers don't look at me so strange. I've actually seen people had the Holy Ghost for years still didn't know how to pray. They just wallered around, if you'll pardon that southern country expression. That's all they did, just sort of waller around. I want to learn how. I don't care how long I've had the Holy Ghost. Teach me if I can get in touch with God. I want results. That's all in the world I want is results, and how do I get them? Well, I've learned this, that God has a distinct and definite approach that He'll accept. Have you ever gone in prayer and you started? I've been there many times and I just puckered up and I was going to cry and I'm just going to beg God for something, and you know what happened? I couldn't even cry. I just had to straighten my face up and all I could think of was thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Just praises would come rolling over my soul. Do you know what God was taking that day? Supplication, intercession, prayer, thanksgiving. The only thing He'll take from you, boy, this morning is thanksgiving.
All right.
One of our missionaries said she was praying for a definite thing and said the Lord let a basket appear in front of her, a visible basket in a vision, empty. She said, Lord, what in the world does this mean? He said, you fill this basket with praises and I'll answer your request.
Glory.
We think we got to be oh my God, please do it. Please, 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 please. Oh, please, please, please. Lord, 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 please. You want results, don't you? Well, let's go the method. There's times if you pray in the Spirit, like the Bible said to them, go there ready to receive from God whatever Spirit He'll place on you. There's times if you would yield to thanksgiving, you would get more prayers answered than you would praying 3 hours begging God for something.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's true.
Yes.
You want results, don't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. I was having trouble when I was out here before. Some of you folks that saw me saw I was much thinner than I am now. I couldn't eat anything. And I left the Pomona conference, I couldn't eat a bite. I was sick and just couldn't take any food at all, a little milk. And I just asked God so many times to heal me and had preachers pray for me so much till I said, God, I've asked you my last time. This is it. Not asking you no more. I said, Lord, I'm just going to thank you for healing me. I get up of a morning, I couldn't eat, but I said, thank you, Jesus, for healing my stomach. I still couldn't eat, but I said, thank you, Jesus, for healing my stomach. That evening I go to eat dinner and I couldn't eat what I was supposed to, but I said, Lord, I'm so glad. I thank you for healing my stomach. That doesn't sound reasonable, but I'm telling you, I quit asking Him and started thanking Him for it. You know what He did? Now I'm worried about the other. Are you listening to me today? Will you let me help you just a little bit in your praying? You see, when you come to God, you ought to come with this attitude. Lord, first of all, hear me. And then if there's anything in my heart, the Bible said if you come to the altar and you think your brother has an ought against you, just well, get up from there and go fix it. Forgive me. Now don't waste an hour down there with something in your heart. As little praying as we get out of you anyhow, man, an hour on your knees and then waste it with something in your heart. Move it out. Forgive me. Now then, Lord, hearken, and I got something I want you to do for me. And don't wait. Don't defer. But in your praying, if you will search after the will of the Spirit, supplication is a little more intense praying than just praying. Paul says prayer, supplication, intercession, and thanksgiving. Prayer is just praying. I mean, you don't particularly feel like jumping up and down. You don't feel like crying. You don't feel like beating no benches. You're just talking as friend to friend. I was laying flat on my back one night of praying, and I just got to thinking, Lord, you reckon you care about this world, position I'm in? It does seem kind of lazy, laying here on my back praying. And I wondered if he cared about position. And I believe he provoked me to that thought to give me another thought. I don't really think position means all that much. At all. I know Paul said he bowed his knee, but I don't believe it's all that important what position you're in. Physically, I mean kneeling or standing or laying down or sitting down. But God provoked a thought to me. How many times did God tell a man to get up? Stand up. You remember Daniel, the same man? When God touched him, he couldn't even get up. He just struggled and struggled. And God said, get up from there, Daniel. Come on. The angel said, get up. How many times have you seen that in the Bible? To Samuel, he said, Samuel, get up. Don't cry no more. Do you know, if somehow today we could understand our position with God, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are heirs with God. And if we could ever get that in our minds, that we don't have to wallow around down there. Let's talk to Him as a friend. Look what He did to Abraham. He just stepped out there, and Abraham's standing up, and God's standing up, and they're just talking to one another. God says, Abraham, I'm fixing to destroy this place over here. I thought I'd come tell you about it. Well, God, let me reason with you here a little bit. You mean you're going to destroy it if there's 50 righteous folks there? See the relationship between man and God, and did you know God enjoys that? One of the greatest defeats to our prayer life is when we come to God. I'm going to get back to these different channels of prayer, but let me inject this. One of our greatest defeats in prayer is ourselves and our attitude. We spend an hour telling God how sorry we are. And the Lord knows He knew that before you ever said a word. But here we are. I'm not worthy. Oh, God, I know I'm not worthy. Beat myself down. Oh, God, I'm unworthy. And Lord, yes, I'd like to have this, but I know I'm not fit. Ooh, Lord, have mercy on me, God. I'm just so unworthy, oh, Lord. Well, by the time you wasted an hour telling God how sorry you are, you've convinced yourself you're not worthy to get anything from God. You're sure enough convinced. I don't believe I'll get it. I'm just not fit to get it. Humility is a wonderful thing, but friend, that's not humility. Some of the most humble men of the Bible were the greatest prayer warriors. Look at Moses, the meekest man on earth, standing on a mountain. And God says, Moses, turn me loose, that I may destroy this people. Can you imagine God telling a man to turn him loose? Said, this people you brought out of Egypt, I'm fixing to destroy the whole bunch. Moses stood there holding to God and said, just wait a minute, God. The meekest man on earth talking now. He said, if the first place I didn't bring them out, you did. And in the next place, if you take a one of them, take my name with them. The meekest man on earth. Daniel said, I set my face. I'm going to get an answer. I don't care what approach it takes or what channel of prayer it takes. If God won't receive prayer, then I'll go into supplication, which is a little more intense. But you see, some folks think they've got to be a jumping up and down and hollering or crying or rolling in the floor before God will hear them. That's not so. Some of the greatest answers I've ever got from God was the driest praying I ever did. It was just talking to God, friend to friend. Now, God, I need this. There's an old prayer warrior back in our part of the country. I wished every one of you could hear him pray. I just slip in, and he's nearly blind, and he won't pray if you're there. But he's nearly blind, so I just slip in and sit down or hide somewhere where I can hear him. Oh, I guess he's got more answers from God than the average 100 other people. And this is high praise. I've never seen him kneel. He walks around and he said, now, Father, I tell you what, I want you to send somebody out here tonight. And Father, I want you to... And Father, he's just talking. Just talking to him. Just talking. After a while, he'll maybe say, praise the Lord, or do a little worship. But then he'll say, now, Father, I tell you, I'd sure like for you to... He just talks to him. That's praying. That's praying. Yeah, but Brother Bean, I'm not trembling, and I'm not shaking, and I'm not crying, and I'm not shouting, and I'm not talking in tongues. You're not supposed to be. The channel which God receives you today is just talking to him, praying. That's just outright praying.
Lord.
Now, there's a time, if you'll follow the Spirit, the trouble is, some folks don't go beyond praying. And that's wrong. Some folks have got to be a hollering and screaming, and the others, they've got to just be a talking, whether it don't make any difference. We need to learn what God's taking today. Lord, here I am. What do you want? Try to feel. Try to go deeper in prayer. But if it's not there, then talk to Him. But if the Spirit comes on you of supplication, it usually brings tears. It's a little deeper. It's a little more intense. Takes a little more effort. Then intercession is the deepest prayer you can pray. It is the most intense praying you can do. Intercession is groanings, and it's that pressure that seems to tear you apart. And friend, there's time when God wants you to go there, and it's important. Intercession is a particular prayer for a particular thing at a particular time. And it demands something right then. I'll never forget one night an evangelist, my mother and myself, was sitting around the house after church one night talking about the Bible. And someone quoted a scripture, and all of a sudden all three of us fell to our knees with groanings that could not be uttered. And we travailed and we groaned, and it lifted a little bit. Then it came right back. Received a letter from a sister of mine that was in Hawaii. And she was by herself. Her husband was gone and by herself in the apartment. At this very time, we were praying. Or somewhere in that vicinity, we were praying. God saw what was going to happen. There was one of the most noted criminals of the island came to her door. He got out of prison and came to her door. She opened the door and he acted like he was going to come in, then he turned to run. I personally believe that's when the burden lifted. But he stopped and turned around and started back. That's when the burden came back. You see, intercession is a particular prayer. It's for a particular thing at a particular time. And oh, how we need to learn to yield to it. An intercessor is not his own. He must be willing to crawl out of bed any time of the night. Stop washing dishes any time of the day, an intercessor. I'll tell you what, if we had more intercessory prayer, we would have more souls saved. For the Scripture is very, very true, just as true as any other part. When Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. I can testify of the fact that I have never in a service in my life ever went into travail that I did not come out of that service with a soul filled with the Holy Ghost. I have never went into intercessory prayer that I did not get the results I wanted. Never, not one time. I can't stand it to not pray people through. At a place, well, in Miami, Florida, preaching revival, and we went several nights without praying anybody through, and they'd like to kill me. I just couldn't stand it. I got down between the altar and the Bible stand, and I said, "Now, God, I'm going to tell you. You either fill somebody with the Holy Ghost tonight, or daylight won't catch me here in the morning. I'm not a stand where I can't pray people through to the Holy Ghost." God knew I meant what I was talking about. Daylight wouldn't have caught me there. I'm not a stand. I got up and looked around, and there was two men. Wasn't 5 minutes until both of them began to speak in a heavenly language. I dare you to get desperate this morning. Say, "Brother Bean, I don't know why we can't have a revival. Learn the approach to God and set your face and quit condemning yourself. Repent and forget it." Do you know what we need greater than anything else almost in Pentecost? Is somebody to start preaching on the mercies of God and God's forgiveness. Do you know I've found people that are crying over sins they committed 10, 15, and 30 years ago. Never let it be under the blood. Oh, it's awful to sin. It's a horrible thing. Sin is terrible. But friend, you've got an advocate with the Father. And if you go through the right methods of repentance, forget it! One of the greatest hindrances to prayer, the person's made a mistake in their life and they get down and all they can see is that mistake. Forget it! It's as though you never did it! When He forgives, my friend! Oh, listen. Do you know what Moses did to that golden calf, the sin of Israel? You know what he did to it? The Bible says he stamped it. He broke it. He stamped it. He burned it and beat it as small as dust and then threw it in the brook that descended out of the mountain. Brother, when he finished with that calf, you couldn't recognize a hoof or ear or nothing else to recognize it as a calf. When God finishes you with your sins, He crushes, He bruises, He beats, He burns, and then He crushes it as small as dust. And when He gets through, He just throws it in that book that descended out of the mountain, and you can't find no part of it to recognize. Let God crush your sins, and then you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Then the saints can rise above. Let a fearful service come. Let somebody give out an interpretation of tongues. And about 3/4 of the church goes to the altar scared nearly to death over the past sins they committed. When will we ever come to the place that God can say, "Get up, Samuel! Rise up, Daniel! Come here, Abraham, I want to talk to you." Oh, as friend to friend. Walk up to God because He is our friend. Some folks have got it figured out that God is some old rough, hard-headed businessman, and you're going in to try to get a raise from Him or something. And you're just scared nearly to death. And you walk in there and you apologize and you fidget around and now, "Lord, I tell you what, I sure do. I'm not worthy now. I know. And just expect him any time. Hush, I'll slap you flat of your back. Get out of here. I don't want him to. That's not it. He says, oh, love, let me hear your voice.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, love, let me hear your voice.
Yes.
Oh, love, let me see your countenance. That's when you really show your countenances in that hour of prayer, emptying the very bottom of your heart to God. Oh, there's nothing like it on earth. There's nothing like it on earth. I'd rather pray than to eat when I'm hungry. There's a fellowship, there's a sweetness. I'm not saying this for honor, and God knows I'm telling the truth, but I never could understand youth. I never could. Clicking their heels together, they used to come by and say, Verbal, don't you want to go with us to the singing this afternoon? Sunday, and no. Every Sunday, I made it a point to stay at that church and fast and pray. I'm not saying that wrong, but I loved it. I enjoyed it. Finally, one day, I thought, well, they kind of called me peculiar and all that stuff. And I thought, well, I must be something the matter with me. So I'll go with them. And they raced and drove up beside other cars and beat on the door and raced them over and girlfriends. And whew, I was sick. I was sick when I got back home. Never again will I leave my prayer grounds for such silliness as that.
That's right.
Oh, Lord God, there's so much to be found. If you want to attain, brother, listen, there's a place in prayer that there's so few that'll go. The garden gate, the eight that Jesus left there, sees more in number. Then he took three on in, then he went on in himself. The closer you get to that intercessory prayer, the fewer there are in number. The closer you get to the garden gate, the more there are in number. But I'll tell you, those sitting at the garden gate, you know what Jesus told them? Said, just sit here. Those three took on a little further. You know what he said to them? Watch and pray. The reason you say, I have got no job in the church. The reason why you have got no job, the more carpenters they get in Fresno or Madera, the greater chance the carpenters will be out of a job because they're overcrowded. The reason you haven't got no job, you're just a bench warmer, and we got so many of them that can sing alto and play an accordion. Friend, that's not it. That's an overcrowded position. And that's good. But Lord God, why don't you go on in where he says now, I'm going to give you a job. When I was in South America, we were flying from Barranquilla to Bogota. And that morning before we left, about 4 o'clock, Brother Cole and myself were awakened with a heavy burden. And we began to travail, and for 2 hours we cried and prayed. Didn't know what it was. Maybe we thought it was something back home that was in trouble. We got on that plane about 7, took off, and that part of the time of the year is real foggy. And we was going to land at Cartagena Airport, which the runway runs right to the edge of the Caribbean. And we was coming in for a landing, and all of a sudden we looked out there and the wheels of that plane looked to be about 3 feet off the water. It was foggy and they were undershooting the runway. It given the wrong directions. I personally believe the intercession of that morning saved that old plane. God further emphasized to me the blessing of intercession. Not only by the personal experience with him that morning, but after we finally made the flight out of Cartagena, the pilot came back and said, would you folks like to look in the cockpit here, come up with us? And of course, the rest of them weren't very interested, but planes have always fascinated me. And I said, yeah, I really would. So I went up there and I sat between the pilot and co-pilot, and I watched every move, and I could see where we were going before anybody else could. I said, we're fixing to land. You want me to get out? Oh, no, everything's all right. You stay right there. I listened to him talk, and I counted it an honor. Liked it. Now I got to thinking about the scripture in Psalms where The psalmist said, blessed is the man whom God causeth to approach unto him. There's so many just passengers looking out the little hole and seeing what little they can see. You know, little window there, just passengers. Just riding, no responsibility. But you know, I got called up to the cockpit and I saw where it was going and I saw where all this thing was, how it was staying in the air and everything. I saw the mountains before everybody else did. What an honor when God says, come on up here in the cockpit with me. I want to show you a few things. There's somebody needs something over here and I want you to come make intercession right here in the room with me. Not just the passenger, but God help us to rise today with the spirit of prayer. The 5-point prayer and the channels by which we can approach God. Find out which one He's taking today and stay with it. Then after you've come there, set your face. It's time to quit and I haven't started. Do you know what I've found in Pentecost? Please give me just a few more minutes because this is the most important point. Please. The word of the Lord in Hosea said, bring with you words and return unto the Lord. Jesus said to His disciples, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, say to this mountain, be thou removed. Say to this tree, be thou plucked up, tell it where to go. Say something. You know, I've prayed around people by the dozens, and this is about all they said the whole hour they're down there. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Jesus. Oh, glory. Jesus. Oh, Lord. Jesus. As important as prayer and prayer time is, and as little time in this hurried world we get to pray. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord. You're laughing. You must know what I'm talking about. Here's how that'd be. I want something from Brother Lane. I say, Brother Lane! Brother Lane! Oh, what you want, Brother Bean? Brother Lane! Well, Brother Bean, what could I have? Oh, Brother Lane! What can I do for it? Brother Lane! I spend an hour saying nothing but, oh, Brother Lane! What you want, Brother Bean? Is it something? Yeah. Oh, Brother Lane! You know I'm telling you the truth. How many times you walling around on the altar mansion somewhere and then just said, oh, well, it's all right to use His name, but dear God, He said, say something.
Yeah.
I can imagine God, if you'll let me use my imagination about God in human terms, I can imagine He said, come on, son, speak up. What is it? Or maybe it's like this, Lord, save souls. Well, boy, that's... Now, you're talking about scatter barrel. Lord, bless. Bless what? When? He said, say to this mountain, pinpoint that prayer. General prayers doesn't mean a thing to God. Mean a thing to God. I don't even believe He hears them. Daniel pinpointed and said, now look here, God, hear me, forgive me, hearken, do something, and then do it now.
Yes.
That's exactly what Jesus taught in His prayer. This is how He said to pray. Give us this day Our daily bread. You know the general prayers of Pentecost. Give us sometime, my Lord, sometime another, whenever you... Oh, my Lord Jesus. I was holding a revival in Silsbee, Texas, and I'd heard them call a man's name there. Let's pray for Brother Mr. So-and-so, that God will stir his heart. Well, Lord, God no telling how many times God answered that prayer, and he still wasn't in church. You may not believe this is important, but it is. Pinpoint it. Bring you some words. Tell God what you want. One morning I said, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of hearing Brown's name called or whatever it was. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I said, now this is what we're going to pray. Now every one of you going to pray with me. God, no, it was Stephen. This case was Stephen. God, send Stephens to church tonight. That's what we're going to pray. God, send Stephens to the altar tonight. And you know, some folks stop right there. Lord, bring on so-and-so to the altar. Well, he comes to the altar and leaves without the Holy Ghost. He didn't stop there. The Bible said, bring you some words, and I was bringing them. God, fill Stephens with the Holy Ghost tonight. Not sometime in some revival somewhere, tonight. And we set our face toward God and said, that's what we want. Service started that night. In walks a man. Somebody says, that's Stephen. Well, good. Never been there before. Revival. Altar call was given. Stephens came to the altar. That's fine, but that wasn't what I asked for. He got up and walked away. I went over to where he was at and laid my hand on his shoulder. I said, God, this is what... We didn't ask for this. We asked for this man to talk in tongues tonight, and he's going to do it. Stevens is a choir leader for the Silsbee Church right now. He shouted all over that place and talked in tongues that night and never been to the revival before. I dare you to get a hold of God and lay hold of it and say, we're going to have this.
Yes!
Oh, give me just a few more minutes, please. This is the last day, and some of the greatest prayers, you see, that's Bible times. It's kind of hard for you to receive those prayers. The one that Elijah prayed, Brother Tenney preached about, set his face and wouldn't stop till there came a cloud. Well, we've had some kind of praying like that in our day. One of the greatest prayer warriors I know is the sweetest, tenderest speaking woman in Texas. Old Sister Bohannon. I don't know if any of you folks ever heard of her. That woman walks so with God and so believes in the Lord. Let me tell you some experiences, and it will bless you. Her boy was, and his dad got on the outs. It was such a heated argument. Until John says, I will never, as long as Daddy lives, come back in this house. It's hard to imagine a father and his son, but that happened. And old Brother Bohannon started to die. He was on his deathbed. And John heard about it and headed for California purposely to keep away from him. And Sister Bohannon said she knew that both of them would be lost if that wasn't out of their hearts. And there Brother Bohannon was dying. She went in her bedroom and she said, now God, you've never failed me yet. Not one time have you ever failed. But I'm asking you to send John home before Dad Bohannon dies. And she prayed, and several days she prayed. Looked like any minute the doctor says he's just a matter of time now and he's gone. Still no John. She went in her bedroom and sat down and said, now Lord, I'm going to tell you. I love you and I intend to serve you the rest of my life. But if you do not send John home, I cannot truthfully testify anymore that you never failed me, because you will have failed me. Said after a while, she heard some familiar footsteps coming up the driveway. John walked in, said, "Hi, Mom," and went straight to the bedroom and fell across his dad. And they cried and wept on one another's shoulder and repented. And in just about an hour, Dad Bohannon went on the cross. He said, "God, I'll serve you, but I can't testify that you didn't fail me, because if John don't come, you will have him." I set my face. Let me tell you another one about her. John was in the Navy. Hadn't been home for almost a year. She had a letter from him. It said, "Mom, I'm somewhere in the Gulf of Mexico on my way overseas at a point I can't tell you." She said she got up a few mornings after she got that letter and she said, "Now, Lord, I love my boy. And you know my heart, and I want to see John. Now you fix it to where I can see John." And she said she went on about working in her flowers, singing, and that evening late, the only phone in that little old community rang, and they said, "There's a long-distance call for Mrs. Bohannon." Someone went after her and brought her to the phone, and she answered. Voice on the other end says, "Mom, this is John." I said, "I'm in Galveston, Texas. Says, could you get somebody to come after me?" Said, "The boat broke down and they had to tow us into this place, and we'll be here 2 weeks," and they gave me leave for 2 weeks. That old woman said, "Lord, fix it to where I can see John, and I can see angels grabbing hammers and ball peen hammers and sledgehammers." And they went out there to that ship and they started knocking around on an engine. Got that thing so out of order they had to tow it in. Oh, hallelujah to God.
Hallelujah.
Mother Freeman, the mother of our missionary Brother Freeman in Africa, had a boy, went in World War I. The government sent her a report that your son, Paul, has been killed in action. They sent her the checks. They sent her all the papers on him. And she started receiving the monthly checks. She bundled all that bunch of checks and papers up and put them in an envelope and sent them back to Uncle Sam. And said, "Paul's not dead, he's alive." Said, "I asked God to save him before he died, and he wasn't saved, and he ain't going to die until he's saved." Said, "I prayed through over it, and he's not dead." They thought the shock of it had run the whole thing crazy. 5 years later, they said, "Mom, do you really believe Paul's alive?" Said, "Certainly he's alive." 10 years later, said, "Mom, you've given up now." "Why, no, I haven't given up. Paul's alive." 15 years after the First World War, one evening there was a knock on the door. As the old Southern custom is, Dad Freeman says, "Come in." In walked a very unkempt stranger, that is, to Dad Freeman. He didn't understand. He didn't recognize him. But Mother Freeman knew who that was. She said, "Old Paul, I knew you was coming home." 15 years she defied the United States government and everybody else and said, "Paul's alive." Oh, if somehow we could understand who we are and what relation we have with God. Any child among you. Brother Barnes said he was sick, real sick. And he thought, "Now who would I want to pray for me?" And oh, he was sick. And God says, "Get your little girl and bring her over to the bed and tell her to pray for you." The little girl hardly, she was just good learning to talk. He called her over to the bed and says, "Honey, pray for Daddy. He's sick." And she put her hand on his arm and said, "Jesus, heal my daddy." And Brother Barnes said he came out of that bed as healed as he'll ever be in his life. The tender child moved the heart of God. Oh, church, we could have revivals. if we would say, God, it's midnight back. God, we've sinned, but we're holding on. I know we're unworthy, but the blood covers all of that unworthiness, and I've come after something from you. What about it? I want a revival. And by the grace of Almighty God, I'm going to have one. And I'm not talking about this one reclaimed and three blessed. If you'll pardon me, I don't mean to hurt anybody. But you read the reports in the Herald, and that's about all there is to it. One reclaimed and three blessed, and we advertise these evangelists as good singers. Recommend them to anybody for good singers. Lord God, Lord God. Oh, we ought to have reports, 150 got it. And I'm sick and tired of folks saying because numbers come in that they won't last.
That's right. Amen.
Friend, that's not so. That's not so. You pay the price and you'll reach the most. This is our time of harvest.
Amen.
Lord God, they say, well, 50 prayed through, 50 will go back. Well, they don't want a bunch. They don't want none. Give me one that's really got it. Oh, we have been so narrow-minded and so full of unbelief that we don't believe the book of Acts. We don't believe it. That book said one day 3,000 was added to the church. 3,000 went back. Well, maybe they did, but the book said they were added to the church. Oh, I'm going to shock you till your teeth rattles. I believe we're going to have a return of such revivals.
Thank God.
All right. Well, there's countries right now, folks that's got the Holy Ghost by the hundreds, never been baptized in Jesus' name. One sweeping revival would sweep thousands in.
Right.
And brother, I'm not talking about this deal that you folks have been hitting up here so hard, and I'm so glad you hit it. It's the greatest dimension of latter rain that's ever come to our ranks, this Businessmen Breakfast Club. It is one of the most powerful and influential dimensions of latter rain that's ever been known. I'm talking about, you see, one of the fellows went to there to get the Holy Ghost, and they said, just say, any, many, miny, mo. That's not what I'm talking about, friend. Lord, no, 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 no. The kind of revivals I'm talking about is where you preach all the junk off of them and out of them. Why, some of the hardest preaching could be preached. I'm a preaching it. And I'm not a bragging, but I'll guarantee you I can show you two converts to the one of the compromisers.
All right.
And knocking the fire out of them. Won't baptize some of them. Won't tell some of them to leave.
Right.
Brother Lane understands that language. Got up in his church one night and told some folks to leave and don't ever come back as long as you live. Don't ever darken that door again. Young evangelist called me from the East Coast, want me a revival right after that, and I told him about that. He said, Brother Bean, maybe you better wait. I haven't got the 17. I'm talking about cleaning house as you go. I'm talking about standard of holiness as you go. I believe we can have revivals if somebody will show their countenance and let God hear their voice.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'll tell you what the old girl finally woke up to. She said, by night on my bed will I seek him whom my soul loveth.
Oh, yes.
She said, I'll arise now, right now, and go about the city and in the streets and in the broadways and seek him whom my soul loveth.
Oh,
she said, I went about the city and I found the watchman and I said unto them, saw thou him whom my soul loveth? They said, who is he above another? She said, you don't understand. You don't quite understand. Said, he's white and ruddy. His hair is like fine, his head's like fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves. washed with milk and fitly set. Oh, his cheeks, they're like lilies. His lips are sweet to the taste. His legs are as pillars of marble set in sockets of fine gold. You don't know who I'm looking for. Oh, she said, when I found him, I held on to him and wouldn't let him go. Oh, give us that persistence, God. She said this. She said to him, draw me and we'll run after you. Oh, church.